Hello, everyone. Welcome to Just Getting By, episode 34, for Monday, the 24th of October, 2011. I am Craig Jones, and I am joined, as always, by Chemslave. Hello, Chemslave.
Howdy, Craig.
How are you doing this fine and beautiful Monday afternoon?
Hopefully sounding better than I have been for the past few weeks.
Oh, my God. All right. I have a big, big mea culpa. I'm going to fall on the sword. I'm going to admit my stupidity and how I basically ruined everybody's life on this planet for the past few weeks now. Are you ready for this?
Oh my God, yes.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen. I have cable broadband internet. I get it from my local cable company. And I've had nothing but issues with these people. Usually it'd be about me using too much bandwidth at peak hours, but recently it's been connection speeds. And when Chemslave and I would be talking, we would have issues of, we'd start to get that kind of sound, the kind of distorted sound that you get if you're like talking like on a walkie-talkie, like 100 miles away. I mean, sometimes it sounded really bad, as you well know. And it turns out, the issue wasn't the cable company. The issue wasn't some sort of program pulling down way too much bandwidth. The issue was something that I did 2 years ago to my cable setup. I ran a splitter in the basement off of the main cable line, and the coaxial cable that I attached from the splitter to the cable box that gives me access to this digital internet was evidently inferior, not capable of transmitting enough bandwidth, and I was getting literally a seventh of the bandwidth I should have been down. My upload speeds actually were also, actually, now that I think about it, they too were a seventh of what I should have been getting. I was getting 1/7 of what I should have been getting down and up. It's a miracle I was even able to do any audio recording whatsoever. This is highly embarrassing for me because I put poor Chemslave through the ringer. I was heavily implying, outright saying that it was his fault.
That's gonna be unneeded stress.
Okay, fine. Yeah, just pile on. Yeah, pile on. Yeah. So yes, I have been a complete and total douchebag for basically 2 months now. But really, 2 or 3 weeks has gotten really bad. So I just wanted to get that out of the way and apologize to Chemslave and apologize to everybody listening because of my own stupidity, I diminished the quality of our show, both for ourselves and for everybody listening, and that really did anger me and made me highly embarrassed, and I apologize profusely, and I mean that with all sincerity. So, Chemslave, I am sorry.
I wasn't angry in the beginning, but apology accepted.
Thank you. Now, on that note, let's go on to the happy news of the week.
Okay, what's the happy news of the week?
That son of a bitch Gaddafi is dead.
Oh, that happy news.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I warned Chemslave before we started recording that I'm going to be saying something that could be considered controversial, possibly even anti-American. But it's something that I feel has to be said. I'm not entirely sure that Gaddafi deserved to be overthrown, let alone killed in the way he was killed. And I think the fact that he was, you know, he was dragged through the streets, beaten, and eventually executed, is what it looks like happened now. The fact that that happened is highly, highly disturbing. And the fact that our own Secretary of State would use such levity as saying, we came, we saw, he died. I mean, the fact that we would support and rejoice in a head of state's death like that is troubling. Now,
yeah, I don't know if anyone deserves to die in such a manner.
Now, if Gaddafi was really as bad as everybody said he was, put him on trial. Put the man on trial. Put him on trial by Libyans, with the Libyan justice system, which we'll be getting to in a moment, by the way. That's also some bad news out of this. But frankly, I think he was assassinated. Different from being murdered in an overthrow. I think it was assassinated because they couldn't put him on trial. I don't know that he would have been convicted. Not because of any corruption, but because I'm not so sure there was much evidence to convict the man of any terrible wrongdoing. You know, Chemslave, we have this refrain in American politics that Gaddafi was the person who killed the second most innocent American civilians next to Osama bin Laden as some sort of justification for our animosity towards his regime. And you know what that's in reference to, right?
The Lockerbie bombing?
Absolutely, yeah. In the mid-80s, it was Pan Am, wasn't it? Or
I think so.
It was something like that. An airplane crashed over Scotland, containing majority of Americans, and several hundred people died. And there is some questions. There are some questions about whether or not Gaddafi had the role that people like to say that he had in that attack. I'm not going to go all conspiracy theorist. I'm not necessarily sure what I believe. I'm not saying that he didn't have a role, but I'm saying that the question had never been, in my mind at least, sufficiently adjudicated. That we jumped to malign him because he was a convenient target. He had this slick kind of mobster look with the sunglasses, and he had a very arrogant look about him. And the way that he was portrayed in American media made it very easy to vilify him. But I never saw any real evidence that he, or even members of his government, were behind the bombing. There's a lot of questions about that. And more recently, he had taken steps to dismantle his very limited stockpile of chemical weapons of mass destruction. And because of that, the United States, under the Bush administration, had taken Libya off of the state sponsor of terrorism list and reinstituted trade relations with Libya. And Gaddafi was also known as being an ardent supporter of African unity and was seen as almost like a grandfather kind of figure for Europe. And he would nurture many different countries, provide aid to many different countries. As politically incorrect as it is to say, the man did a lot of good in Africa.
And wasn't he the one trying to do like an African Union type thing?
Well, there already is an African Union, and yes, he was a big, big supporter of that. He, as a matter of fact, was the president of the African Union for most of 2009, I believe. He, or maybe that was even 2010. I forget. It was very recently, though. He'd chaired the presidency of the African Union. And he really did favor a United States of Africa. So he leaves a mixed legacy because Libya was a totalitarian regime, and there are legitimate human rights violations that occurred during his reign. But in that region of the world, you have to be realistic. And there is really there are very few countries in that region, North Africa, Africa in general, the Middle East, that don't have bad human rights violations from time to time. I'm not justifying that. I'm not supporting human rights violations. But I don't know if it necessarily was fair that Gaddafi himself was singled out above everybody else. So I do not rejoice in his death. While I'm not saying that he was a good man, in fact, he was very likely probably a bad man. Good and bad are such elementary school terms, it's not even funny. But insofar as people think of what is good and what is bad, he probably was a bad man. He was probably corrupt. He probably profited from his rule. He was totalitarian and authoritarian. But he also drastically improved the living conditions in Libya to the extent that Libya was one of the most developed nations in Africa, rivaling Egypt and South Africa in terms of development. People don't realize that. People are not told that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And so there is good and bad about this man and his reign. And I can't help but think that he has been set up in some way to take the fall for someone else's agenda. And I don't want to necessarily go into what that agenda is. But suffice it to say that I just do not take a lot of joy in his death. What do you think? I'm sorry, I've been talking a lot. What do you think about this?
I'm going to go into somewhat recent, at least in the last 100 years, the big atrocities that were done by the Nazis. They weren't paraded in the streets and, like, dragged forth and beaten and killed. We had in Nuremberg, there was a trial. They were sentenced to death. They were hung. Even though I'm not a big fan of the death penalty, I believe that was a more, I don't know, humane way to treat people who have done atrocities. I sort of fear this whole New Libya thing, because I watched part of the video from I think it was on the Telegraph, and I was like sickened. I was like looking, I looked at it and I stopped watching it. I was like, this is inhumane. I know I'm probably being really anti, like, Western civilization by saying this, because he was such an evil person, but truthfully, I'm afraid that we, as a society, are happy that this guy died in such a way. We don't treat our own criminals in this way. We even give them ways to appeal their sentence, to try and get out of it, even though that doesn't, most of the time, doesn't work. That's not how you treat someone. I wouldn't wish that type of death on anyone, even someone like Hitler. I wouldn't want him to die in such a fashion. That's really, I'm shaken up. If you really want to know, I just still don't know what to think on the whole situation.
Well, no, I definitely agree with you, and your Hitler analogy is, I think, very appropriate, because Adolf Hitler is possibly the one of the most evil statesmen in modern history. That being said, had he not killed himself, I would want him to stand trial for his crimes and be executed according to the law.
Yes.
Because that would validate the fight against him, because that would show that the people who execute him will be doing so according to the rule of law, and not according to the whims of one man and one dictator. Now, historically, that would have been impossible, because the Soviets were got to Berlin 2 weeks before the Americans and British, and they would have taken him away to some secret gulag and tortured him to death. But I absolutely agree with your points from a substance point of view. And Gaddafi should have stood trial as well. And there's a lot of questions about how he died. We don't know necessarily how he died. And the worry is that he did not die of wounds sustained in fighting. That he died just, you know, through execution after he had surrendered. And that flies in the face of everything that we as a civilized nation have come to expect from justice. And the fact that our administration is rejoicing so much in Gaddafi's overthrow is, to me, just further proof that we, as a nation, no longer have the same values that we once did. Now, Clinton, after the fact, after saying, "We came, we saw, he died," after she said that, then she started to say, "Oh, you know what, you know, yeah, that death is a little bit questionable. Maybe we should have an investigation into that. Yeah, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah." But you know full well, everybody listening to this knows full well, that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama really couldn't care less about the results of some investigation. Gaddafi is dead. America got its way. And now we have the new Libya. Now, Kem Slave, the new Libya. It's a little bit scary. I don't know how much you know about it, but this new president of the Transnational Council, which, by the way, I don't get where these people even came from. But this guy spent very little time in Libya. He's an American educated man. And he has just come out recently and said, "Oh, yeah, yeah, we're going to be going by Sharia law and not the pre-existing law code," which probably wasn't the greatest to begin with, I'll grant you. But Sharia law, if taken from a fundamentalist point of view, is also not good. It is very, very biased against women, for example, and punishments for crimes can be very severe. I worry what Libya is going to turn into, and Egypt, and Tunisia, and Syria, Yemen, all of these countries that have these uprisings and have lost a dictator or have the potential to lose a dictator. I worry about what we're going to be getting in place of these dictators. It could be that we'll have, you know, 7 or 8 mini Afghanistans pre-9/11 in the Middle East, all fomenting terrorism. That is a big concern of mine. And I know a lot of people also have that concern. And this isn't as controversial a lot of people are starting to look at these revolutions in the Middle East and think, oh, wait, you know, this might not be good. What say you?
Yeah, the whole Sharia law thing, that scares me, because that's taking the world of religion and meshing it with the world of law. And, well, I'm not going to go on into a rant against religion, but those books were written hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, and some of those laws should be beyond what a civilized nation would consider things that we should be using as punishments. Like if you steal, cut off someone's hand, the whole eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth mentality. Well, I do agree, yes, I'm more of the punishment should fit the crime type of guy. You don't, like, stone someone to death for being an adulterer. And these types of, like, laws do seem to fester different types of hates for the way we live, because we are immoral, if you look at it from the religious point of view, because we allow women to have a voice. We allow women to wear clothing that maybe to some people seems to be very, very, I don't know, like just like inappropriate. And this whole way of looking at the world scares me. And I don't know, it doesn't bode well for the rest of the world.
No, I totally agree with you. And I can't stress enough just how dangerous complacency with these topics is. For American citizens to just sit back and say, yeah, he was evil, it's good that he goes, so who's on Dancing with the Stars now? I mean, to have no deeper thought process behind it is scary. That we take...
Is Ricky Lake still on?
Yeah, I think she's doing pretty well, actually. anyway, like I said, this is dangerous. And we risk becoming an uninformed people, too willing to accept encroachments on our own civil liberties. If the United States can go into some other country and help overthrow its head of state, what can they do to us? I think that's an important question to ask. And it's a scary line of questioning to go down, because the end result likely will not be comfortable. I know it makes me uncomfortable. Do you have anything else to add before we move on?
Not really. This I'm still sort of shaken up by watching that video of his last moments.
Yeah, we'll include a link to that video in the show notes, justgangbypodcast.com. And I too was disturbed by that video, and it raises more questions than it answers. And it's important that we as citizens seek answers to those questions. All right, Chemslave, so what else do we have going on today?
Well, something that that's also near and dear to many hearts. A little place called Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Okay, that sounds familiar to me. Why does that sound familiar to me?
This amber golden liquid that they one company sells from their Jack Daniel's whiskey.
Mm-hmm. I don't really go for the hard stuff, but you know that's not too bad. That's not terrible. Okay, so what's going on with good old Jack?
Well, there's this quote unquote concerned citizen, a Charles Rogers, He's a 75-year-old retiree, and he of Moore County, which is home to Lynchburg and Jack Daniels. And he feels that they are entitled to more money from the only industry in the county, Jack Daniels Distillery. And he has this proposed that they should that Jack Daniels should pay a $10 tax on each and every barrel in the distillery they fill, because they are supposedly not doing enough, and the town is broke. They need, like, I think, a new water treatment plant. So, hey, let's hit up Jack Daniels because they have money.
You know, these people make me sick. You know that? I mean, I swear to God, Chemslave, I mean, I want to take these people and just, you know, it makes me want to go all Libyan on them. Ooh, too soon?
Too soon.
No, I'm joking. I'm joking, obviously. But, you know, these people, you know, Chemslave, I am reminded, it's not nearly as serious as this, but I'm reminded of a very different situation, but the same kind of thought process. Everybody knows that Steve Jobs passed away a few weeks ago.
Yes.
But unless you don't follow technology, you won't know what his last official presentation was. Do you recall what his last official presentation was?
Was it, I forget. Remind me.
Well, in the first week of July, of June, he did WWDC, and he introduced iCloud.
Okay, yes, that's what I was thinking of.
But that was his second to last public presentation. His last public presentation was given a day after that to the Cupertino City Council. Cupertino is where Apple is headquartered. And Steve Jobs went to the Cupertino City Council and for 20 minutes explained to them plans to build the new Apple headquarters building. It's this round building, totally round building. People like to call it the mothership. It looks like a space saucer, a hollow space, like flying saucer, like settled down there. And when he was done giving the presentation on the plans for the building, a councilwoman thanked him for the presentation and then asked him, "Do you have any plans on providing the citizens of Cupertino any services?" And Steve Jobs acted surprised and unsure of what she was talking about, although I'm sure he really did know. But she went on to give the example of Google providing free Wi-Fi for the citizens of Mountain View, where Google is located. And then Steve Jobs came back at her and said, "Well, you know, Cupertino is primarily financed by Apple. Apple is the biggest corporation, well, in the world, but also in Cupertino. And they derive a massive amount of taxes from Apple and the people that it draws into the city." So he said that due to that, if she wanted free Wi-Fi for Cupertino, she should use that with the tax dollars that have already been taken from Apple, that he wasn't going to go out and provide free Wi-Fi. He said that's a function for the government to do and not for Apple. And I'm reminded of that when you talk about this Jack Daniels situation, because these local administrators see these important corporations, these well-known corporations, they think they can bully them. They think that these corporations just haven't given enough. They make profits, therefore they have money to spend on the less fortunate, the more needy. And they have a right to those profits. Now, in the Cupertino situation, it was only a question, and it was never like a serious proposal. And as a matter of fact, Steve Jobs, I'm just thinking about this now, Steve Jobs implied that they would leave the city if they got too far down that line of thought. And, you know, Jack Daniels could be in the same situation. $10 a barrel doesn't sound like that would be financially viable for Jack Daniels. Yeah. And I'm willing to bet there are many, many communities in that area that would love to have Jack Daniels bring jobs to their area. So these people better watch themselves. Because funny as it sounds, in times of economic distress like this, corporations really do have a lot of power to say, well, you know, if you're going to tax us into oblivion, that's your right. We'll just move.
And we'll this whole story's really weird.
Yeah, why is it weird?
Jack Daniels brings in, like, I think a third of the tax revenue for the area. So it's one third of the tax base of this area is Jack Daniels.
And keep in mind, that might sound like, well, where's the two-thirds extra coming from? Well, there were probably tens of maybe not tens of thousands, but there were probably thousands of businesses in that area, several towns, many tens of thousands, possibly hundreds of thousands of people. So if you take all that into consideration, Jack Daniels, one corporation, provides one-third of the revenue derived by that county. That would be just absolutely devastating if they lost that revenue. So they better be careful.
Okay, so this old guy, he's like, oh yeah, we're getting 25,000-30,000 people coming in here, and we can't even move around. Isn't that a good thing? You're getting 30,000 people coming in, going to your stores, buying food.
Yeah, what the hell else do you want? Do you want them to go someplace else?
Yeah. I mean, there's gas stations, there's everything. These people are using the services and paying money for them.
I mean, there is this I've spoken about this in previous shows. There is this, like, self-defeating tendency in people to begrudge success and to think that you have a right to other people's success. And that success implies that you got there over the backs of others. It's very self-defeating. It's like a self-loathing type of thing. And it sickens me. It really sickens me. Jack Daniels is providing such a valuable service, to everybody, being able to get drunk. But to this community, providing them with jobs, that they have the audacity, they have the balls to complain that they're not getting enough money and there's too many people in there. I mean, they don't... It's like they're asking to lose that source of revenue. And the idea that you can tax willy-nilly is just not true. There comes a moment, there comes a time when the person being taxed, whether it is a person or whether it's a corporation, will just move. It costs a lot of money to move. I will grant you, but sometimes it's necessary. Now, what were you gonna say?
Well, not everyone in that town is mentally retarded, because the mayor, Sloan Stewart, isn't so sure. He's like, it's like everybody says that they won't, says no, they won't. You can't say no, they won't. That's always a possibility. There's a chance they could do something like that, pack up and move. Because, like, hey, they could move to a more tax-friendly place. It's like, at least the mayor has his head, at least somewhat in the right direction. It's like, hey, this probably wouldn't be a good idea because they could move.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you know, I'm not so sure if that's necessarily a ringing endorsement of Jack Daniels. If I was in that community, I would want to hear the mayor say, "This is a stupid idea," and there is no way that I will allow that to go through. And I'd sooner resign than see our biggest single source of revenue be taxed even more. And in times like these, you have to do everything possible to try and protect your sources of income. And if you alienate your sources of income, you're setting yourself up in the long run for disaster. And that was a very wishy-washy quote you just read from that mayor. Yeah. And I, if I was in that community, I would be a little bit thankful that he wasn't going full tilt with that that idiot person who was proposing that tax. But I'd be very concerned that he did not just squelch that on the spot. He might not have the political power to. I don't know what their government system is there. He might not have the authority to. But still, he should have at least said something much more definitive than what he did say. And I suspect that Jack Daniels is going to be leaning on the leaders of that community to make sure that does not happen.
So you know how much $10 a barrel would cost?
How much?
$4 million a year. And that's $1 million more than the entire county budget.
Okay.
That's really bad.
You know, I'm glad you said that, because now, you know, ChemSave, people need to realize that these local governments like to pretend that they're powerful. They like to pretend that they have autonomy, that they can do what they please. And every so often you will see local governments introduce legislation like this, or, you know, even just float it. And it's never meant to really go into effect. I didn't realize it was that drastic. And so that tells me that there is no way that that would ever be passed, not at $10. That if there was even a chance of it being passed, it would have to be significantly less, maybe $3 or less. Because that just seems like so beyond the pale. I've seen this happen many times, including in our local communities in Pennsylvania, where ChemSlave and I are both based. They will have these proposals, and they will generate some buzz with them, and then they'll be forgotten. It's just like, you know, flexing your muscles. Oh, I can do this. It's pathetic, for one thing. But it's also something for the people in that community probably not to get too terribly worked up over. I'd be surprised if anything happened with that. That doesn't mean it's not worthy to talk about, though. I mean, it's still stupid. I just knowing what you just said, I would despair of the chance for that to become law. I just don't think it's possible.
I think it's just really interesting that this made national news, because this is Fox News that's reporting this, so this is not just a little itty-bitty issue. This is like, you can look at this sort of like, even though this has no chance of passing, you can look at it as, okay, this is sort of mentality the people in these areas have, that they are entitled to more money. Because, oh, they're using this bucolic image of small-town life in Lynchburg, so we need this money, because if a movie uses a town, the town gets money for it. So we should be getting money because of that.
All right, so do we have anything else to add?
Not really.
Okay, then. So, we have had a very interesting show. And if you enjoyed our show, if you disliked our show in any way, if you agree or disagree with anything that I or ChemSlave had to say, please give us your feedback. Email us. Our email address is feedback@justgettingbypodcast.com. feedback@justgettingbypodcast.com. And also go to justgettingbypodcast.com to view the show notes for today's shows and check out links to previous show notes and previous show audio as well. And that being said, Chemslave, thank you. Thank you for not quitting this podcast after finding out that I put you through weeks of hell, basically.
I was planning on it.
And I will talk to you again on Wednesday.
See you next time.